Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline starts now.
Hey everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191 tonight. I'm delighted to welcome into the studio Tom Arnold, the one, the only.
What's up, buddy?
You know Tom because he's from Iowa.
That's from Iowa. That's how they know me.
That's how they know Tom.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry to pull you out. I know you've had the Tonight Show tonight. You've probably been working since 4 in the morning or something.
She was in Chicago this weekend, and it's been great.
What
Grand
were you doing
Rapids,
there?
Promoting The Kid and I, which is a movie that comes out December 2nd.
Now, you wrote this.
I did.
Yeah.
And this is an interesting project because my next-door neighbor in real life is a kid with cerebral palsy.
Presently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About 8 years ago, I was going through a divorce and not working. And at night, I'd sit in my backyard and smoke cigars. And one night, this kid yelled, he just moved in, "Hey, Tom, what's up?" I said, "Nothing." I couldn't see him. He's behind the wall. "Nothing. What's up with you?" "Not much." And his dad would be like, "Eric, get in the house." And I was like, "Okay, I'll see you tomorrow night, Tom." Just nice young kid. And, well, funny, you know, every night he'd be out there. And it, funny, he yelled, "Hey, I don't care what everybody says about you. I like you." You know, so I was like, "I got to meet this kid." So I meet him, and he's a this marvelous kid. We became friends. And 3 years ago, his father is a very successful man. And
now,
very rich.
Let's set the stage a little bit. The cerebral palsy just affects his motor function, not his cognition, or he also has some
say,
brain thing?
Well, I mean, he has ADHD for sure, like I do, except maybe one level worse, perhaps.
Yeah.
But when he tries, I mean, he can focus.
Yeah.
And you know, when he tries, he could do it because he, you know. But anyway, his father called me and said, "My son is an actor. He's seen True Lies 100 times, and he wants to be in an action movie like that. And I'd like to hire you to write a script for you and him." And I was like, "Well, great. Send me some tape on your son." And it was his son. I thought he had another son, but it was his kid.
Wow.
And he was at the Strasberg Institute, the summer program, doing Shakespeare.
How old is he?
And he was, you know, at this time like 17, and, you know, he was very small, too, but he's great. And I said, went to his dad, and I said, "The dad has instilled a level of confidence in this kid that is far superior to anything you or I have." If he believes he can do anything. So I said, "I'll write a movie, but it's got to be about this real thing, and I'll take it from I'm an actor that hasn't worked since he did a movie like, let's say, True Lies 10 years ago, and is about to commit suicide. Not because he's sad. You know, it's just because it's the thing to do.
It's a way to leave his mark."
Well, he's leaving. He does admit it, but it's a way to leave some mark. Maybe get his picture at the Oscar thing. He has no friends or family.
Let's say I'll pay homage to a few folks we've lost this year.
Yeah, exactly. And he, you know, it's a very narcissistic thing, as you know, suicide. But it goes wrong when his last great gesture is giving his clothes to a homeless guy, because everything he does is, and the homeless guy steals half of his drugs, and he only goes into a coma.
Oh, so he's a drug addict.
Well, no, he's not a drug addict. The homeless guy is.
I see.
But he brings him into his little apartment. He's got everything locked up. You know, he's paid his bills. He knows nobody's got his tombstone. He's planned it out perfectly. And this homeless guy takes that, and he only goes into some sort of coma. So his agent finds him, Henry Winkler, and says, "Got great news." An agent hasn't talked to him in 10 years. "It's your comeback. It's like True Lies, except Arnold's not in it. And it's this kid, and he's very talented." He doesn't tell me the kid has cerebral palsy until I go over to the kid's house and meet the kid. And Joe Montana's the dad, Shannon Elizabeth's stepmom. And the kid comes down the stairs, and I say, "Oh, my God, I'm being punked. I'm being punked." It's very awkward. But it is real. And what this kid is so funny. He did take all the acting stuff. He did. And so I said, when I started writing the movie, I said, "You know, I'm going to make this about our real relationship, okay? And what do you want to accomplish in this movie?" And he said, "Well, I want to ride a Harley. You know, I want to jump out of an airplane."
In the film.
Yeah. All the things he'd never done. He goes, "I want to beat up bad people." I said, "Well, what bad people?" He goes, "Drug dealers. Drugs are bad." I said, "Yeah, drugs are bad." He goes, "I want to help the homeless." But he'd always end by saying, "And I want to kiss a girl in a hot tub like on MTV." So that's when I knew he had a movie, because his mother is very conservative. She lives in Michigan. She only knows me from the E! True Hollywood Story of my first marriage. She would not speak to me. She was scared to death that her little boy, who weighed a pound and a half when he was born.
Oh.
People didn't think he would survive. Is now going to be in Hollywood, where his dad lives.
With Tom Arnold.
With Tom Arnold. And I don't blame her. I do not blame her. So, but I knew that that's what he wanted, like every other 17, 18-year-old boy.
Yeah, of course.
And so that's what the movie became about.
Does it have wide release? We can just anywhere?
We're going to start in probably 50 theaters. But you'll see it. You'll see the commercial. It'll be everywhere. It's very good. He studies True Lies during the movie. He does all his own stunts. He worked really hard. Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jamie Lee Curtis make a cameo. And I always wanted to do True Lies too.
Schwarzenegger.
And you're going to have a... He had to sneak away from the office. And Shaq is our other neighbor in the neighborhood where we live. And he's in it. And a woman named Brenda Strong, who I did not know before. She's on Desperate Housewives. Came and auditioned to be the mother, the kid's mother that's kind of against me.
Yeah.
So every time something happened in this process of writing the script, every time I got some bad vibes from the mom, I put it into the script. And finally, what I did to get even was I had the mother fall in love with me. And we actually kiss in the movie. And but it was wonderful because the real truth is what he wanted was to kiss a girl. He'd never kissed a girl in his real life.
Oh, that's really the goal.
And
this,
really
it?
Happens. And
but we get down to it. That's one of the goals of anybody wanting to be in films or being a celebrity and stuff, right?
But I also kept saying, this kid, I know he's special, but he's also like a
normal
regular kid. And I could always relate because when he was born at 1.5 pounds, nobody said, oh, my God, he's going to grow up. He's going to go to Hollywood. He'll be in a movie. They were lucky that he survived. And when I was his age... Now I worked at a meatpacking plant. Nobody said, "Oh, look at Arnold and Hambone."
So at 17, you're already in the.
Well, by now his age now he's just 21. So
did he enjoy the experience? Was it?
He loved every second. He reminded me that I was lucky to have a job. I mean, he showed up every day and worked so hard. And we've been doing the press tour. It is so funny doing press with this kid because he's not real media savvy. They'll say, "What did you do this movie?" He'll say, "When 10 years ago, I was watching TV in Michigan. I saw True Lies, and I knew one day I would move to Hollywood, and Tom Arnold would touch me." And I was like, please finish the sentence. And he goes, "Oh, I'm sorry. I knew that Tom Arnold and Arnold Schwarzenegger would touch me." So, we got a lot of great people. Ariel Kebble plays the girl that he falls in love with.
The first screenplay that you've had produced?
It's the first one produced,
exciting for you. That's
and
great.
So it turned out great. Penelope Spheres
directed
it.
Is there a release coming up?
December 2nd.
Premiere?
Premiere is the 28th of...
November?
Of this month, of November, yeah. You want to come?
I do want to come. I'll be out of town. That'd be in New York. Okay.
In New York? Yeah, we'll see you in New York. I'll coach you in New York.
I will do it.
When are you in New York?
That whole week of the 28th.
I'll be there the whole week, too. I'm doing Conan on 29th.
All right, perfect.
We'll get together. You and I will get together anyway, okay?
I would love to do that.
Okay, good.
It's a film.
The kid's amazing.
I mean, it sounds like a film that...
Well, and when you think about Penelope Spheres, who directed Wayne's World and more the Decline of Western Civilization 1 and 2, so she's this rock chick. So he had such a good combination of people and got
you're
a lot
proud
of help. I am proud. I'm proud of this kid.
Well, you're probably proud of the film, too, right?
Yeah, except that I'm in it.
Well, it's hard to accept.
Yeah.
Now, wait, let's do a sidebar on that for a second.
Yeah.
Because you were just, before we go on the air, Tom had just said to me that mostly he's not trying to impress anybody anymore except his wife.
Right, I'm still trying.
Trying to get her to like you.
Yeah.
And that occasionally she will even offer compliments.
Yes.
And that's the worst thing of all.
Well, I will take them from her. From other people, it's sort of painful because it feels like I don't deserve it. So, but I'm getting better at that. Like, I did a movie called Happy Endings that came out this summer that did really well critically, and people are praising. It got a lot of good positive stuff. And it seems, a lot of times it's easier to respond to the negative stuff.
Right. And if you get positive deflected, it was on the other actors, it was the direction, it was the writing.
And let me say something about my wife, too, that's happened. You may be interested in this. 6 weeks ago, I don't know why this happened, but I've been in a lot of fear. We've been remodeling, and the price has tripled, and I have financial fear. I have fear of not working enough. I have fear of a lot of things. But she all of a sudden took a very serious sexual interest in me, my wife, that she'd
Your
never
wife?
Had before. Yes, like crazy. So I started thinking, wow, is this a hormone imbalance? Whatever it is.
It's good.
And
whatever
she
it is good.
Initiates it, which she never did. I mean, like... And so I don't care that I'm
going
to maybe that's what it is, but I don't care that
women get an erotic drive when they start thinking about reproducing.
Really? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
But whatever it is, I don't care as much about the money. And I mean, it is such a base thing.
So the fact that she is interested in you sexually makes everything else not important.
Yeah.
That's really the most important thing right now.
Well, because I'll tell you what, it always in the back of my mind. Now, I would never, because I consider cheating like it's not impossible, but I take it one day at a time, just like my alcohol and drugs, which I'll almost have 60 years. But I know if I did cheat on her, then it's a house of cards. I'd be dead. I don't do it because I'm a saint guy and it never crosses my mind.
You don't want to die.
I don't want to die. Yeah. And I don't want to be the bad guy. I don't want to hurt her. I don't want to be the guy that hurts her feelings.
Yeah.
If anybody's going to be the bad guy.
First.
Yeah, it's got to be her. She's going to be the bad guy.
You've never had a relationship for more than 4 years.
Never.
We'll talk later
in
the show about why that is. I know why that is. And another thing that keeps ringing in my head right now, when you were way down in your stimulant use and the cocaine, you used to talk about how you got so psychotic that you were looking in the mirror, pulling the film off the white part of your eye and trying to cut it.
Yeah, I was going to cut it off.
Because it didn't need to be there.
Yeah.
The white to pull
I'm
the white
glad
out.
I didn't do that.
I'm glad,
but I was at the same time, I thought that the mirror was a camera, and I was doing a documentary on a drug. So I would talk to the mirror. I know you're there because I was smarter. I know you're watching me. So, you know, I'm in on this. Psycho. Good times.
Stimulants are awesome. All right, let's take some calls about that, yeah?
Yeah, love it.
Let's see. I'm cheating. Oh, here's a good one. Sandy, 18.
Hi.
Hey, Sandy, what's up?
Okay. I've been having an affair with a guy for about 4 or 5 months now. He's 22. He's had a girlfriend that lives with him for about, 6 months now. And him and I are really interested in each other, and he apparently got her pregnant. She's about 3 months pregnant now. And today she was supposed to get her abortion. And I just want to know if I should stick around with this guy, because he seems sincere enough.
Well, let's add the score up. See, he's living with another woman. He's a father. He's
22.
22.
He's
your
18. Living with his parents, and she's living with him because her parents.
Oh, I mean, this is adding up to be a wonderful young man. I mean, what's there to miss out on here?
Is he doing it out of honor? Is that why he's been living with his pregnant girlfriend?
he's been with her for 2 years. He obviously still cares about her. He wants her to be safe, so.
Why don't you find a guy? Why do you have to have this guy? Why not find a guy that's actually available?
I don't know. The last couple of guys I've somehow gotten involved with were all involved with other girls.
Somehow, magically, huh, Sandy? Go ahead, Tom.
Here's the thing. As you know, this will never work because you got it. You know, relationships like this. What I found in the movies, you know, when Johnny Cash hooks up with. With what's her name, the gal that the Reese Witherspoon's character.
Yeah,
whatever.
His wife.
Yeah. That happens sometimes, and that ends up working for 35 years. But in real life.
I mean, in terms of young kids.
Yeah.
In real life. They're
both married when they met.
Oh.
When they started hooking up, he was still married.
Yeah.
And it ended up working out. In this situation, this guy's way too young. He obviously couldn't handle what he has. And
can't support himself.
You know, but it doesn't matter because it's how she acts.
Yeah.
She likes guys that are not available because there's something missing. I mean, and a lot of guys are going to like you. I'm going to tell you right now, you'll be very popular for, you know, until you're old, which will be quick if you keep with guys that are unavailable because it's awful easy for them.
Guys like to exploit.
Right.
But the thing is, him and I clicked really well in the beginning. He doesn't get along with his girlfriend very well, you know.
That's what he tells you.
That's always good when you get with the guy that's bad mouthing his girlfriend right away. You know,
that's the kind of guy you want to be with, Sandy.
In this whole big posse, you know, we've hung out before. Like, you know, everyone in our group knows about.
Well, but Sandy,
he's the only one that doesn't know, and I witnessed it, and everyone else witnesses how bad she treats him.
Oh, yeah, she's a horrible bitch. She's a horrible person.
Yeah,
he's a saint. He's a saint.
Cheating on her. Yeah. I mean, other than that, he's.
Well, I mean, I'm sure he treats her like absolute gold, like gold.
Yeah.
You want to know how his next relationship is going to end? Look at how this one ends.
Yeah.
That's how men end their relationship. There's a particularly young men. There's a pattern that goes on for at least a good 2 to 5 years in the early 20s. If you want to know how your relationship's going to end with him, just look at how the last one ended. That's how yours is going to end with him.
Right.
And that's it. Until guys are ready to settle down, which is...
Well, it's just that she should know that she can do better. I mean, there's just some rules that are just there. Maybe they don't make sense, but there's just some things that you don't do no matter what. Guy with a girlfriend, pregnant, living together.
No.
You just don't get involved. Even if it feels like it's romantic and... wonderful. You just don't do it.
Yeah. There's no reason to do it.
Right.
Unless you need the chaos and you don't want a real relationship.
Right.
And then, by the way...
She's young, though, but she's so young, she doesn't know. Do you have a dad?
Well, hold on here.
Hold on a second.
She has a dad, but he's not around. I guarantee you.
Is your dad around?
Yeah.
Well, have you told him about this?
No, not at all.
What happened? Wow. You don't like your dad very much, do you?
No. I actually moved out of my house during the summer, and this is when I met this guy.
Yeah, so dad's an angel.
I guess this is the reason why I clung on to him. Because
gentlemen, you want to screw up your young daughters, go right ahead. This is what you get. You get unhappy girls to go for unavailable pricks.
Right, exactly.
That mistreat them. And you mistreat your daughters, they'll find lots of other guys will continue.
But what
the
do we know? Maybe this dad's a good guy, and she's like rebelling.
No, I guarantee you.
Yeah, that's true.
Abby, 23.
Hi, I'm calling to find out, how do I get rid of the little girl voice?
You hear that voice?
What'd she say?
She give us a load of the alphabet. Go to like G. A, B.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Stop.
Oh, how do you get rid of that
now,
voice?
Now imagine who was, now just in your, just close your eyes and just imagine the image of the age of the young lady giving us the alphabet. Say it again. Do it again.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Eight. Right?
Eight. Right. Eight. How old's that Simpson? Lisa Simpson. How old is she?
Lisa, she's about, I think she's 11.
Okay.
So 8 to 11. I'll give you that window. And in our experience on this show, you know, we just sit here and listen to voices all night. When women get that crazy voice that makes us, evokes a feeling of that we're listening to the actual child.
Right.
Usually there is some trauma at that age.
Is that right?
Like some sexual abuse or physical abuse or some abandonment or something. So Abby, has something happened?
Yeah, my parents divorced when I was 11. And
11, Tom, very good. Wow. Well done. That's the Lisa Simpson syndrome.
Right, exactly. Good call.
And that was pretty rough, huh?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Well, you could say an easy thing is to say, well, did you work on the psychological issues and maybe you sort of mature out of that and through that and regulate your emotions better, the voice thing gets better. I don't know.
Maybe that's her voice, though, dude. You know how the episode, some people have voices.
I magically knew there was something happened then? You know,
well,
what I mean?
That's true.
That's just the way it is. And I bet you there are speech therapists that can help you with this.
True.
A speech pathologist could, but
or she could go into voiceover work.
Do cartoons.
Yeah.
Do cartoons. Make when you got lemons, make lemonade. And by the way, Abby, I almost called her Lisa. Abby.
Yeah.
Are you okay in relationships? You're feeling okay? You doing okay?
But he was really sweet. Been through therapy. I have a happy marriage.
All right. So what the heck?
What the hell? She's set.
It's cute. The voice is
fine. It's cute. Yeah, I know.
I mean, if you're a prosecuting attorney, it's not going to be too helpful for you. But
that's what I'm concerned about, is that I just finished my undergrad and I'm interviewing for jobs.
Well, go see a speech pathologist.
I got to tell you, Holly Weirs was a friend of mine. She's a producer who produces a lot of movies, and she has the same voice, and she does very well with it. And, you know, it's cute. And
work with what you got.
Yeah, work with what you got. You sound like you got a great life.
Take up smoking.
Yeah.
I just quit.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Yeah. Thanks, Anderson. Well done. Well done.
Not a problem. I don't think she's good.
Where'd that nicotine habit come from? What, lung cancer, heart disease?
Yeah.
Yeah, Loveline. Told me to do it on Loveline one time. Yeah, back in 2005.
Good voice. I think she just wanted to show us her voice. She's got a good voice.
Well, you know, it's a coquettish quality to it. Men kind of respond to it.
It's a what?
Coquettish. You know,
can you say that on the air?
Yeah, it means sort of like seductive quality to it.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. And
I like to hear that voice sometimes, like, how are you? How do you do?
Yeah,
you
know? but it's coming from a bad place.
Yeah, it is.
It's not a good thing.
I want to ride the pony, Daddy.
Let's see.
That
see, there
you go.
Yeah, these are the people that call our show. Aaron, 21.
Hi.
Hey, Aaron, what's up?
Okay. I've been with my girlfriend for about 4 years now. About a year and a half ago, I joined the Army with the basic training. And before I went, I had great sex with my girlfriend and all that. Lasted probably 15 or 20 minutes before I ejaculated. After I came back, I was like a minute man. And
you gotta just get back.
I mean, right away when you get back, like you've been away for a year and you came back and, you know, the heat was on?
It was about 16 weeks.
Yeah, when you come back and you're having
right,
that
of course,
sex.
For
yeah.
God's sakes.
Yeah. That's how your body works.
Well, I mean, it's been like that for a while.
How long?
Probably a year now.
Oh, it's a little different.
Well, what you do is you take care of her first, and then do you masturbate before? Because I find that slows down the, you know, you get one off
I've
in the morning.
I've tried that, but
she orgasm with oral sex?
She does.
Okay, that's
what there you go. He's set. You get a vibrator. You get some one of those deals. Just make sure, because that's the thing. Make sure she's happy, and then whatever. She'd probably be.
By the way, by you lasting a minute, it's because of mitzvah, as far as she's concerned.
Right. Like, she's like, thank God.
Yeah, thank God. I'm going to sit here for 10 minutes waiting for him to finish.
That tap on the back. Are you, honey?
You done yet? Come on.
Okay.
Yeah, and the only other thing I could be concerned with, did you take any weird vaccines or treatments for gas or anything, or nerve gas, anything like that when you're in the Army?
Yes, you go through a CS chamber, and you do take multiple vaccines.
Yeah, there have been, you know, since the Gulf War, there have been some funny observations of brain changes and things like that from something. They're not entirely clear what it is. You wonder if this has something to do with that.
Was he a basic trainee, though, or was he actually...
Did you go to Iraq?
No, I haven't. No.
But you get the shots of basic training, I'm sure. This guy, I'm going to tell him, don't worry about this. Is she complaining about it?
Yes. It's honestly probably a minute.
Yeah,
and
but
I'm concerned, too. I mean, I'm not just worried about...
Are you otherwise feeling healthy?
Yes, absolutely.
Get on your knees, scumbag!
Yeah, I think, listen to Tom. He's telling you it's not a problem. Tell
it's
him again.
It's not a problem. It's not a problem, man.
You're making it a problem.
Yeah, you're making it a problem. And you get an erection, right? I mean, it's working, right?
Yes, he just gets a minute until they're finished, which, again, she's probably relieved by. And he's thinking that she's freaking out about it because...
Yeah.
There are some women that would freak out about that, though. Some women who orgasm specifically with intercourse, which is maybe 10, 20% of women. It's a small number.
Well, what to do with them is they need to be, you know, there's other ways to do it. I like to get on top, rub it on me, and so they get a head start.
Sure.
You know, because I'm not exactly Mr. Because I like it. And then I have to concentrate or bite my hand so I don't...
Scars are
everywhere.
That's nice. That's good.
You know, it's because we're not used to it. This guy's been away a long time. I certainly don't worry about that. Of all the things to worry about.
Yeah, I know.
And the other way is the way to worry when you get the 7-hour erection.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, that's when you're
in
trouble.
Ouch. And you know, you had one of the most famous calls on this program. Remember the Holocaust show?
Oh, my God, we got in so much trouble.
I know we did.
We have banned in Canada. I saw the news.
Yes, they're upset that we mentioned the Holocaust. But the fact was, there was a phone sex operator complaining that the guys got off too fast.
Right.
And so we said, you know, put in some subliminal messages, you know, talk to him, but just slip in the Holocaust, things like that. And then she got on. And she'd never heard of the Holocaust, first of all.
Right, she had no idea what we're talking about.
And secondly, she just could only think in terms of telling us how she was thinking about the Holocaust.
She was like, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just sitting here thinking about the Holocaust.
Oh, you know, nice black garter. Mm-hmm. Just thinking about the Holocaust right now.
Oh, wow, that was one of the craziest call.
Yeah, that was crazy. And she, oh boy.
But there you see it. That's the infinite wisdom of American educational system. So listen, it's Tom Arlen here with us. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Give us a call. We got a ton to talk about. The show coming out December 2nd. The Kid and I, wide release. I can't wait to see it. It really
I think
very
you're really
intriguing.
Like it.
So
I had a couple questions for you too.
All right, we'll be right back. Right, it's Love Line, 1-800-LOVE-191. The film is The Kid and I, starring Tom Arnold. And what's the young man's name?
Eric Gorris.
Eric Gorris, who has
very
cerebral
talented.
Palsy.
He's cerebral palsy, but he's he'll tell you he does it. He's actually, you see the movie because we have our shirts off. He's in a lot better shape than I am.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. And he's an amazing kid. He is girl crazy.
What 21-year-old is not?
Exactly. He is, I try to calm him down. I tell him, rule number one, you can't date people you work with.
Right.
Hollywood rule number one. I've convinced him that there are rules, and he will follow that one. That way, you know, because I know from my
Provided he's not working with Lindsay Lohan.
He loves her. I get calls, can we invite her? And I introduced him to Misha Barton.
Oh.
I mean, he was like,
my God.
He's aiming awful high. I tell you, you got to aim low, a little bit lower. But he's a, you know, he's a good kid.
He's a movie star now. Come on.
Yeah, but he's like, he's so funny. In interviews we do, he actually said this, and he means it. That he's not, doesn't mean to sound like us. We're sitting across from an African-American interviewer in Chicago yesterday, and he says to the guy, you know what, I have cerebral palsy, but I don't, that doesn't stop me. I can do anything. I mean, it doesn't stop me. He said, you know, everybody has something. He goes, you're black. And the guy, he goes, oh. But I go, hey, Eric. And he goes, no, I don't mean anything bad about that. When I look at you, I don't see black. I see white guy. You know, and he just, he means well.
Oh, my.
He just, it comes across just a little. I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. But he's a great kid.
Genuine. He sounds like he's genuine, too.
Yeah, right? And you know what? He sees...
Childlike.
He sees my wife. He's always like, oh, your wife's so beautiful. And then his father has a very beautiful wife, younger wife.
Let's talk about the wives for a second. Now, you have never had a relationship longer than 4 years.
Right. Never made it to the 5-year thing. And my
and
wife
now you've
and
finally
I,
done that.
Yeah. We broke the bubble. And I'll tell you what happened. was it was we had some tough times this summer.
And well, first tell people why the 4-year interval.
Well,
what's magical about 4 years?
I think
it's a good theory.
If I were Dr. Drew, I would say it was because my mother left when I was 4.
Yeah, and she just took off.
Yeah, she disappeared.
Yeah,
and which turns out to be a good thing. It's why I was mad, but I was also grateful. As it turns out, she was an alcoholic, married 7 times.
Did you have a relationship with her? Is she still around?
No, she died.
Did you make amends with her eventually?
When she died.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the end. You know, because I wrote that list of what I was mad about and what I was grateful for and read it at her tombstone.
Wow.
And whatever. And you know what? She did the best she could. Mm. That's what I had to get to so I could move on from that stuff. But when you're 4 and your mom doesn't really like you, you can't.
As you perceive it.
It's not her fault. It could possibly be your mom's crazy or your mom's alcoholic, because that's too much to believe that the mother or father could be bad.
Yeah.
So it's you.
Yeah.
So all my relationships, it's so easy to accept. I'm the bad guy, and it's a pattern, and I think if a woman senses that, they know that's how they keep you in there.
Well, not only that, but you start believing that they're going to leave at 4 years, so the way to take control over that is to make them leave or leave yourself.
Well, what happens, I have very bad, obviously, abandonment issues, and what helped with my wife, Shelby, that we worked through was my therapist said something to me one day. I said, why is she making it so hard? Why is she on me? Why does she keep me backpedaling? Why does she pick at me? He said, because whatever abandonment issues you have, she has them tenfold. And I never occurred to me that she would. You know, her parents were divorced, whatever. But it never, because in my head, if you're treating somebody like that, it's not because you want them to stay, it's because you want them to leave.
Right.
But if you could get them to stay because that's the way they are controlled.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, she's being mean because she loves me so much she doesn't want me to leave. Oh, that makes sense. So then we started working on this. Listen, if you're feeling insecure, there's nothing she could say to me where I would go, oh, my God, that's... Because if she said I'm insecure about anything,
if she had said
I would
that
relate
herself.
To it. Yeah. I'd relate, yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard for her to admit fault because she thinks that I would leave.
Yeah.
It's quite the opposite.
Yeah.
The more human, the more vulnerable, the more I want to say. But just hearing that the reason that she was, at that time, in my opinion, being kind of mean and controlling was because she loved me so much and was afraid I would leave, it took the pressure off me. It's like... My first wife, when she was diagnosed with multiple personality disorder, I was like, oh, that's why. Okay, that's fine. Even though it was crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I said, it's okay.
Humans can tolerate discomfort and pain when they know what it is and how long it's going to last.
Right. Well, it's her life, knowing that I'm a drug addict and alcoholic. Even though I don't use and never have since I've known her, obviously, there is a personality that I have that... You know, that is that way and will always be that way, and there's nothing she could do about it. It's not her fault, and I am a certain way.
Probably a thing you need to remember too is that the codependents are actually have more deeper problems even than the addicts,
right?
Oftentimes,
and well, so it's because I think it's harder to diagnose.
It's deeper. It's more delicate. Even it's harder. Right. Addicts are hardier types,
right?
They come. It's all there.
But
it's
I want to get to know everything about her. What she's afraid of, whatever. You know, and I think when she feels guilty about something, like, you know, with our house budget going so far over and so expensive and I have to work so much because she did start it. It's not her fault that it went like it did, but she's one time said, this is my fault. One time is the only time she said it. And then, you know, I'm like, don't worry about it. But it's hard for her to say that because if she said she does something wrong, she's afraid I'll hold it against her or leave. Instead of, you know, if somebody says to me, I'm sorry I did this, I'm instantly, it's over.
Yeah.
You know, it's over, the anger, the, you know what. So I think some people are scared. They always have to be great. Mm. What they're doing has to be great. They're doing
that
right
too,
thing.
Right?
Yeah, what's that?
You're that way too, right?
No, because I know it's probably not.
You don't have to be doing the right thing.
No, I have to do the right thing because it is the right thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have to, or I'll just, it haunts me.
Right.
You know, it's not that I always do the right thing, but if I can't let people down.
Right.
If I take somebody, I would let somebody down, it eats at me, it eats at me, it eats at me.
You're a bad person.
Right.
James 27.
Yeah, I have been with the same woman for 2 years. And sometimes after sex, I'm not circumcised, but my foreskin gets, like, chapped.
Right. Does it crack, actually bleed?
It doesn't bleed, but it cracks.
That can happen. And that's one of the reasons people get circumcised, is that inflammation at the tip starts getting cracked and dry, and it will actually tear and then that scars and then tightens down around the head of the penis, and so they can't get the head out.
And this is like right after sex, or like after a little, you've cleaned up a little bit, if you know what I mean.
After I've cleaned up a little bit, but yeah.
Ooh. Wow.
Put a condom on, maybe that'll settle it down a little bit. But the fact is, if it really keeps going, you'll get something called stenosis, where the foreskin narrows. And that's one of the most common indications, or a very common indication for circumcision in adulthood.
Yeah.
And now, you know, these days we're showing that there's less HPV transmission in circumcised men, less cervical cancer in the partners of circumcised men. So it's a good idea to get kids circumcised. It's a little easier to take care of. Why not?
Right, exactly.
So why not? You're circumcised, huh?
Yeah. My brother got it when he was older.
Oh.
Ew, that was funny. It's a little more painful when you're older, but it's worth it. A lot of things, but yeah.
Get a little more painful. You're screwed up for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know. He'd be soaking in the bathtub, and I'd bust in and show him. I go, check out the black banana. Yeah, we had that kind of family. But yeah, I do that. It seems like something you could work on and get done.
Sure.
That's not a big problem.
Mark is 30.
I doubt it. It's not the same kind.
Mark.
Hello?
Turn the radio off. Here we go. You're on.
Hi. Hello?
Yes, turn your radio off, buddy. Come on.
Hi. Oh, I'm sorry. Hi. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
I have a bit of a problem. I have a penile disfigurement. I was actually in an accident in a machine shop, metal
Two.
Shop.
Ha.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Uh-huh. I was in a metal shop accident. My pants actually became ensnared. This was 10 years ago. Became ensnared in a machine, and it cut off blood flow. And I went through some physical therapy for quite some time. It was basically a drill press, you know. But I was stuck in the machine for an hour, and it took the paramedics an hour to cut me out. At any rate, my question is, I started dating a girl, and I was just curious to know how I would approach this before sleeping with her, so I could tell her what to expect.
This is the first time you've had a relationship since this happened?
I had two relationships. This is my second relationship. My first one did not end well.
Why?
We dated for 6 months, and I didn't express to her what had happened.
And what was the nature of the injury exactly?
Well, it's a torsion, you know.
Torsion of what?
Torsion of the penis and testicles. It was all twisted around and mangled, and they had to do some sewing.
What was the repair? What was the procedure?
Do you have a penis?
Yes, I do. It's still functioning. It's a good size. It's just that there's problem with blood flow, and I'm not always erect. I can't always get erect, and it's certainly disfigured. It kind of bends to the side, and there's some big knotty areas on it.
Okay. All right, got it. So, okay. So what should he do?
Well, I think he should be proud. All penises look weird to women.
How aesthetically pleasing are any of them?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've stared at mine. I wouldn't let it, if it was a blood flow situation,
Viagra?
You know, there are things, yeah, Viagra, they got that pump deal. I wouldn't even, it doesn't sound, he has a, you know, there are people that get him cut off, and then you have to tell people about that.
Right.
But they could even rebuild something like that.
Yes, they can. And this, he's got something there, it works, he said.
He said it was big. I mean, yeah. I'd take that and run with it. Yeah. He's got knots on it.
Yeah, people have those things put in.
Exactly. I'd change your penises right now. But I wouldn't.
Even Tom's penises has low self-esteem.
Yeah, exactly. Women tend to not study that. Like, they don't want you to study their vaginas.
Right.
You know, because they have a certain, because they all look different if you look at them.
Yeah.
And, it's such a personal thing. It's such an intimate thing. And if you're vulnerable about it. You know, she might even like you more.
I would just explain what happened, that things are a little different. If you have blood flow issues, see your doctor about medication you can use to bring it on up
a
little
better. It's a miracle. Buy that. That's like one of the, you know, those accidents you tell your friends, oh, my God, guess what happened?
Yeah, exactly. This
He'll
is
be
Blake,
fine.
Blake 23.
Hi, I have a question.
Yeah.
I was wondering, like, is there a correlation between gay guys, because I'm a masculine gay guy who happens to be attracted to other guys.
Here we go. This last night we got with Annie Dick on these long conversations about masculine gay men.
My brother's a masculine gay guy. If you saw him, you would think, because he's from Iowa, his boyfriends are always very, I guess,
feminine.
Feminine, yeah.
So interesting. Okay, and you like, that's you, right? That's the match that you like.
Yeah, I'm a masculine gay guy. I was wondering, even with masculine gay guys, is there a correlation between higher estrogen levels?
Not that I'm aware of. Where'd you hear that?
I was just—that's my question for you.
No, I've not. I've seen. I mean, that would be. You'd see that as a headline. I mean, that'd be an obvious sort of
right.
biological explanation.
You'd want to not be gay? Is that the thing?
No, I am gay. I was just wondering.
Good. You don't want to change something about yourself.
No, I'm
not that you could. I'm just asking because the estrogen. I'm not even sure.
Right. There are definitely biological elements in gay being gay.
Right.
And
but why is it my brother always goes for smaller? More effeminate guys? Is it because he has to be in control?
That's what. You know, sometimes it's a attachment to lost parts of self. You know,
right.
the more boyish looking thing.
True.
And a need to control that. And there's sometimes guys that have been sexually abused have a reenactment compulsion.
Right.
And have to control and dominate. Andy Dick was talking in great detail about this last night. Some guys are just sort of born gay. They just clearly, they're very at ease with it. They're very clearly that.
Yeah.
And that probably has more of a biological element to it. And some guys are sort of created into it when their uncle screws with them.
Right.
Now, you had a sexual abuse.
Yeah, I did
thing.
With my babysitter. But I really.
You went back and confronted the guy.
Yeah, I did. I went to where he worked when I was an adult.
And you put signs up about him and stuff?
Yeah, well, I did. Well, first of all, I found out. I was in court. My sister was being sentenced, and I'd said something on a TV show about a guy in my old neighborhood when I was younger. It happened, and a woman came up and said, "I know who it was. It's my brother-in-law because he molested my husband, who was his old brother."
Wow!
So then I said, "Well, I got to do something about it." So I researched him, found out he had a big job, and this happened between the time I was 4 and 7 or 8 or whatever, and I wasn't really sure what it was. Now that I know it was sex for him.
What he was doing
this
to, yeah.
game that we played with his penis and my penis and stuff, it was like, especially when you're 4 or 5, you're like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And, you know, there was candy involved, so, you know, I was up for it. But but I didn't know. It was weird. So I knew that, and I kind of blanked it out. But I found out where he worked in Des Moines. He got a big corporate job, and he's a religious leader. And,
oh, my God.
He also had been adopting boys for years. So I went to where he worked. Talked to my therapist. He said, you can't get violent. You can't. And I'll tell you what. I walked right up to him. I hadn't seen him since I was a kid. He looked the same, smelled the same. I was scared. I put my finger in his chest. And
you were a kid again, you know, right at that moment, right?
Oh, yeah.
It just sends you right back.
Because he put his finger in my chest and said, but as soon as I started talking, he said, your memories are wrong. So I know he's been confronted before by people. And then I felt really small, but then I grabbed his hand and said, if you try to do that to me now, I'd break your effing neck. And I did it. People were sort of, it was sort of shocked because they knew who I was.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, I'm here to see so-and-so. Anyway, so then I left and I went over. I heard he was adopting kids. So I went over to the state capitol and found the governor and said, what can we do about this guy? And he goes, you know, statute of limitations is up. Legally, we can't stop that. I had the papers that he filled out, a lawyer, a private eye. He said, we can't do anything about it, but legally. So why don't you leave now, Tom, and, you know, we'll see what happens. So anyway, I found out they stopped his adoption.
Oh, good.
Which is great. Then I thought, have I done enough? I feel good about it. I put it away for myself, but have I done enough? So I had my farmhands drive up in the middle of the night and 6 blocks around his house, put up his name and his crimes. Because I wanted to warn the other neighbor kids that were still there. So, and, you know, I actually got a little verbose and challenged him. I said his name. I said, I'm going to say a fake name, but I said his name, hoping that he would sue me, you know, at that time. And, you know, I heard from a lot of the kids in the neighborhood, and I felt like that was
kids that he was messing with? Wow.
Yeah, so you connected with some of the, you know, the kids, and it was kind of a...
It was a healing thing for you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Where were we? What was the guy talking about?
Your stories are amazing. Kid and I opens December 2nd. Tom Arnold's joining us tonight. The phone number.
You'll like it.
1-800-LOVE-191. Go out and see it, and we'll be back with more Tom Arnold after this.
Love Line. We'll be right back.
Thank God Tom didn't cut his eyeball open when he was loaded on crack. That would have been a bad thing.
That would have lost a good bad.
A great, great number of great performances, including The Kid and I coming up December 2nd, wide release. Every major city, pretty much?
But, well, New York, L.A., Chicago, Michigan, Iowa. You know, the important places, Denver. We're starting off at about 50 theaters, then we'll go wider. And I think it'll do all right. You know, I had a movie this summer called Happy Endings, which I loved, which Maggie Gyllenhaal played my girlfriend. I'll get you a DVD of that.
Yeah.
Just give it. You would like this.
Yeah.
Very great movie written by Don Roos, directed by him, Lisa Kudrow, all these great actors. He's intertwining stories, which are about secrets.
Oh, yeah.
And about how they affect your life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people's motives and people that seem bad are not necessarily bad. And there's a lot of gray area in life. And why do people... And it's just kind of a wonderful thing that not a lot of people saw, but it was a great experience, and it was something that I had to really fight to get.
And it's out on DVD now.
Yeah, it's out on DVD. It's a wonderful movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope people check that out, too.
This now is Charlie, who is 16. Charlie?
Hmm?
Charlie the female.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hey, Charlie, what's happening?
Nothing much. I just had a question. Like, if you, like, give your boyfriend, like, a BJ for too long, would anything happen?
Your jaw can lock, and you can get soreness in your mouth and things.
You'll get frustrated with him. You'll get mad at him.
You harbor resentments, and it'll come out later when you're at dinner.
Okay. Like, but, like, would there, like, be anything, like, medical that, like, I would have to go to the hospital for or anything?
That a guy would have to go?
No, that she would have to go.
That you would have to go. Well, your jaw can actually lock open.
Yeah.
And when that happens, sometimes we do have to give you some medication, sort of put you to sleep briefly and unlock the jaw.
Is that for real?
Yeah. Yeah.
God, I'll never have my wife.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often, but it does happen. I mean, you irritate the lining of your mouth and things, and you get exposed to herpes and things like that.
If he's not clean, you can probably...
Yeah, but you get STDs that way, like you can from...
I don't want to discourage her from this activity. I just want to say... let me say this about this. How old are you?
16.
Oh, boy. Well, if you were older, I would say that the key ingredient in that I found is someone that's willing, that it seems to enjoy it, whether they do or not.
That she enjoy it.
Yeah, that she seems to, it gives the illusion that it's something that she enjoys.
She likes doing.
Yeah, and that makes
the
guy
happy.
That's
the key ingredient.
Yeah.
And what's happening with your boyfriend?
Hmm?
What's happening with your boyfriend? What prompted this question?
I don't know. When I give my boyfriend, like, BJs, I do it for, like, half an hour sometimes.
Oh, my God.
I wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't either.
No.
He's got the responsibility.
Yes,
thing.
Yes. And some guys don't have orgasm with oral sex.
I don't like it as much. I'll be honest with you. I like the other, I do like it, but I don't like
not to orgasm.
No.
And so some guys will sort of be holding off, waiting for the real thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, give him, you know, a few, 5 minutes, he'll be
five
fine.
5 minutes is plenty.
Yeah, he's fine. All right, Charlie?
Cover all the good spots. I hope he reciprocates.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Does he?
Does he reciprocate?
No.
Oh, well then, forget it.
How old is this guy?
He is 2 years older than me. He's 18.
An hour, and nothing for you?
No, not really.
Well, is he, let me ask you this. Why does he not do that for you? Is it a cultural thing?
Well, we've never, like, actually had sex. I mean, like, I'm still a virgin. We've never actually done anything.
But, I mean, has he done that, the reciprocal, like what you do for him with the BJ? Has he done the thing on you?
No.
And why not?
Because I don't want him to.
Oh, really?
How come?
I don't know. I'm just, like, really freaked out about that stuff. I, like, want to wait till marriage, and I'm, like, I only give him BJ.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You want to do something special on your wedding night. Have you ever licked his butt?
No.
Oh, Tom?
Is that my word? Did I say that before?
Those are your words.
Oh, my God. Well, that's not for you. You're 16. But that is a special thing for older people. It's a nice surprise. You got to, I mean, you know, no, but this is a gal that's just starting in this process. And,
right.
And the boy sees probably, he's probably young, too. And, you don't know what to expect.
No. You've said all the right things. Virginia, 21.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's up?
Nothing much. I just got a question for you guys. I was with my boyfriend for about 7 months now, and for the probably past couple months, we only had sex about, you know, 4 or 5 times. And because he's been getting chafed a lot. And we were about to get ready and do our thing, and I was about to go down on him when I noticed it was really, really bad. And before that...
Have you been having any reaction? Have you been having a reaction all yourself?
No, I haven't. Not
because you wonder if it's a herpes outbreak or something, because that's something that persists like that is more right. than just from friction.
Well, the thing is like we both had STD checks when we first got.
Well,
tested.
there is no STD check for herpes unless you have an active mm-hmm. outbreak.
Oh wow, okay. Well, the thing is like it looks like it's rubbing a lot, and it doesn't look pussy or it just like.
Take him in. Let have the rash exam.
Yeah.
Come on, Virginia. Maybe it is just rub. In the meantime, put a condom on. But I don't. I worry.
Is
about
he a chronic masturbator? Because sometimes, no, what I've read. Yeah, that's happened to me before.
Tom's read about that.
Well, I've read. I mean,
her friends have told him about it.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take another break. Tom Arnold in here. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. The film is called The Kid and I, coming out December 2nd, open widely, and we'll be back with more Tom Arnold after this. Love line 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. He is Tom Arnold. The film is The Kid and I, opening wide December 2nd.
Yep.
The premiere is November 28th.
Yes.
Out here?
Out at Grauman's Chinese Theater.
Cool.
Yeah,
fun.
Really big deal.
Yeah.
The kid's gonna love it.
Well, that'd be great. His parents will be the mom. Yeah, the
Arnold's
mom be there and talk
there.
To you.
Yes,
Arnold's
the mom
be there?
Is Arnold, his family will be
wow.
there, and you know, all the actors, and it'll be great.
How exciting.
I hope it's going to be great. It'll be great.
Okay, now this is Jay, who's 28.
Yeah.
What's up, Jay?
Oh, hey. It's so great to be on. I love you guys. You're doing great. So my deal is that I've kind of developed a pretty serious drinking problem over the last couple of years.
And what's the question?
Well, I've tried AA, and I don't have... like the time or the money really to go traipsing off to rehab. So I'm just wondering like what other kind of options I have, because I get like the shakes and everything.
How much are you drinking every day?
About a half pint of vodka.
Okay, well the problem with alcohol is the most serious issue is the detox process initially. You got to get off the drug.
Right.
The problem is that alcohol withdrawal is potentially fatal and something has to be managed.
It's
one of the few drugs of withdrawal you can actually die in withdrawal.
I know.
A few drugs of addiction, rather.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't go halfway with this. If you're going to come off the drugs, you've got to be supervised. You're going to have to spend a little time, a little money doing that. Then, in terms of actually stopping the drinking, stopping the process of the disease of the part of the brain we call the medial forebrain bundle, stopping the addiction process, Tom's going to tell you about that.
Well, what did you like about AA?
What didn't I like? It's too Jesus-y and stuff, you know?
Well, you know, though, I'm Jewish. We don't talk about Jesus when I'm in AA. I can't really say I do go to 12-step meetings, but let me just say this. If that's your only hang-up, you know, you can make a doorknob your higher power. To me, the thing about it is you just got to believe that there's something bigger than you in the universe. It could be
that's
something that grows the grass, something that the sun comes up. Whatever. You know, it's not about religion to me. Because, you know, it's just about us realizing, wait a minute, there's something more important.
The higher power concept really fundamentally is dealing with grandiosity.
Right.
That's fundamentally just letting go, not controlling things, and realizing it's a big universe. You don't control it.
Right.
That's it. That's the whole higher power concept.
And it's free.
It's free, and really, it's not just about the meeting, Jay. You've got to get a sponsor, and you got to sit there and do the structured process of a relationship we call the 12-step relationship, which is just taking you through a guided experience with another person. It's very simple.
And everybody should do it, even if you're not an alcoholic or drug addict.
It's true. What's the therapy? Same thing. Therapy is the same
thing. Yeah, it's resentments. You get rid of your resentments. You figure out what you're really pissed off about. It just makes your life a little easier.
Uh-huh. But is there anything else out there besides...
Here we go.
That's kind of... been successful in that?
12-step is by far the most successful intervention in terms of long-term sustained therapy. You can go find a therapist to give you cognitive behavioral therapies. There's a new medication called Campral that reduces some of the drive to drink. There's a lot of different kinds of interventions out there, but fundamentally, pretty much everybody ends up back in sort of a 12-step process. There are people, but all of that is professionalized services, which cost money and takes time, while the 12-step is free, and really it's just people who are there to be of service to you. Jennifer, 30.
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going? You know what? Just want to say thanks to Tom, because you know what? To actually talk about that kind of stuff, it really helps other people come forward. And I think everybody needs to approach their perpetrators. I had a similar situation.
What happened?
And it happened, I guess, when I was like 3 or 4, but I had a reoccurring dream just my entire life that it happened, but I never really knew that if it did or not. And when I turned 18, I tracked him down in San Diego, and I stood before him, and once we actually made eye contact, I knew it happened. And, you know, his sister ended up telling me that, you know, I confide in her, and I said, you know, I think your brother molested me when I was younger. And she goes, you know what, I hate to say this, but he probably did, because he molested me and my other sister.
Whoa, my goodness, yes. Well, that's the guy.
You know,
people don't perpetrate once.
Right.
That's the thing about
200 of them.
That's the thing about people that themselves have been sexually abused. There's about a 60% chance that they could become a perpetrator.
Wow.
And when they perpetrate, they don't do it to one person. They do it to dozens and dozens and maybe hundreds. And so sexual abuse, not only is it the gift that keeps on giving, because, you know, carry that with you your whole life, but it becomes an exponential form of growth of the problem.
Right. And I think it's important we confront those people, because I don't think it stops until somebody, you know, brings it to their attention and other people start talking about it.
Yeah,
it
don't stop.
Unless you go to the governor like Tom
did. Well, one thing about it, and who knows what that guy said, but one thing about it, too, is one thing you do something like that. Like, a lot of us get really fat. You know, we're drug addicts or whatever, because we're trying to protect ourselves. And I know a lot of women who are sexually abused
get
fat because
to keep people away,
it grows
push them away.
Their stomach over their genitals eventually, and it protects them in some weird way. They are not they are not a sexual object of any in their heads.
I was watching The Biggest Loser at night and looking at some of those women and thinking, you know, I think some of these are sexual abuse survivors.
Right.
Because as they are getting skinny, they're starting to freak out and get nervous and depressed.
Oh,
and stuff
because
they're suddenly attractive and they're sexual humans again. And what does that mean?
Right. Although I've been with some pretty big women that were very sexual. So, I mean, it depends on how you feel about yourself. If you have self-esteem and you're big, you know, I find that sexy. But about that show you're talking about?
Yes.
The guys have their shirts off and their breasts are huge.
Yes.
But the women can't do that. Now, that's not right.
That's
I'm going to tell you
it's
right.
Bad. I know.
It's bad.
I
either
read a letter.
Either everybody has shirts on or nobody.
And also, some of the guys are alcoholic addicts, very clearly.
But that had to feel good to that lady, because she got, you know, not only to see the guy, she probably had a little bit of, you know, since it was memories, not 1,000%. But when you hear it from the sisters, it's, you know, it's his affirmation,
feels
good.
And sexual abuse is not just about a memory that's disturbing. It affects how the brain, the trajectory of brain development.
Right.
John 26, speaking
hey guys,
big breasts.
Speaking of
hey,
bad,
what's up?
Guys. And, problems on TV. I'm calling tonight because my breasts are growing.
See?
It's a real weird event. It's like the last couple of years, they just started getting bigger and bigger, and now 26, and they're bigger than my wife's, man.
Are you a heavy set guy?
I am a heavy set guy, but I'm not like a, you know, not like a big old fatty or nothing. I was always a big guy. Played football, things like that. I did
smoke a lot of pot.
Steroids.
What?
What was that?
Well, you said something about steroids, because that'll make your breasts grow too.
I did experiment them when I was younger, like 19, but now, like at 26, the last couple of years, it just got bigger and bigger. It's getting out of control. So
what about the pot? What about the pot thing? You smoke pot?
No pot, no drugs besides the steroids, and I still work out till today. It's just this one area of my body is just—they're just like women's breasts.
When was the last time you did steroids?
What was that?
When was the last time you did steroids?
Oh, 19, 20 years old.
So a while ago. You know, 6 years. It's kind of unusual to get significant medical problems that cause this. It may just be you. There are plastic procedures out there to reduce things. You wonder if it's something it's very common to get breast gland and tissue development with use of anabolic androgenic steroids. So you wonder if this is just maybe some kind of residual from that. There are certain hormonal problems that can maybe cause that, but I really don't think
sometimes people, don't they just gain, when you do gain weight, you gain it
right there.
Because I have a friend that's a guy that just gets his ass gets huge, but it's just his ass. He's like one of those.
And this guy's just his breast. And there are, again, there's liposuction, other sort of procedures out there.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it.
Scott's 24.
Hi. I have difficulty getting fully hard to the point where I can't perform intercourse, and I also take a long time to orgasm. And I was wondering if you could tell me what the options are, and specifically
what the options are.
I was wondering about.
What else? Are you on medication?
No, I was, but I'm not anymore.
What were you taking?
I was taking Prozac, but I stopped about a year ago.
Okay, well, that can delay your ejaculation, correct?
What?
Yes, that can affect your sex drive and your ability to have an orgasm.
Even after I stopped taking it?
Well, I've heard of situations, I tell you the truth. So you really should talk to the doctor again who had originally prescribed that. There may be things they can do to kind of kickstart.
Do you like the person you're having sex with?
I'm sorry?
Do you like the person you're having sex with?
Well, I'm really not having sex.
Oh, but I mean, if you can't, then how do you know it doesn't work if you're not trying?
Right. Well,
is it just for masturbation purposes that you're worried?
No, I'm worried about the actual sex, because I can masturbate and orgasm, but it just doesn't get hard enough to have intercourse, really.
Why don't we worry about that when you actually have a relationship?
Yeah, when you get somebody to disappoint, call back.
Yeah, in the meantime, certainly one of the first signs of medical problems can be erectile dysfunction.
Right.
Heart disease,
that's
endocrine
really
problems, thyroid disease. So I would say, Scott, you're 24, so it's probably not, the usual medical stuff we worry about in older men, but certainly worth going and seeing a doctor, saying there's been a change, talk about the Prozac, thinking of ways to kickstart it. And there are pharmacological interventions. Obviously, things like Viagra can be helpful.
And
sometimes
it can be psychological, maybe to masturbate.
Sounds like an anxious guy, too. And anxiety makes things not work.
Yeah.
Daniel, 19.
Hi, Dr. Drew, Tom.
You struck a chord here, Tom. Go ahead, Daniel.
Yeah. I want to thank you. I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous. Never called in the show. Drew, I've been listening since Rappin was the host.
No kidding. Over 12 years.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I can't believe I'm actually on the show. Wow. Tom, I read your book when I first got sober, which I was almost 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I had, for 8 years, I was sexually abused on almost a daily basis.
By whom?
And by a neighbor of mine. He stole my neighbor today.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
How old was he?
He's a year and a half older than me.
How old were you when this went on?
I was 6.
So he was 7 and sexually abusing
you?
Yeah.
So somebody, an adult
somebody
sexually,
was abusing him.
Yeah, somebody really got to him.
Yeah.
His uncle actually did some stuff to me, too.
Well, the uncle's probably the one that started the whole the boulder rolling down the hill here.
Yeah. I mean, it's really tough. I've been through therapy I was in an intensive outpatient program for 2.5 years.
Cool.
And, I don't know. I've done a lot of work on it, but I'm still really afraid to even see him in my neighborhood, and I don't know how to talk to him and I guess feel better about it.
How about moving out of that neighborhood?
Mm-hmm.
We generally just take people away from perpetrators. We don't worry about confronting them or dealing with them. Just get out of there.
I don't know how. It's not that easy.
You can't move?
Well, I mean, I'm still living with my parents. I'm going to, unfortunately, community college.
Okay.
I went to community college, brother. The fact that you're talking about it right now is really great. Now, Dr. Drew, the fact that they were young and sort of peers,
yes,
that is different. The uncle thing is
more powerful.
Yeah, but the peer thing is a little different.
It's a little different. It can have less impact, but again, the chronicity of this concerns me. It's going on for years and years, every day.
And was he overpowering you? Did you feel threatened?
He would beat me up, and there was one instance where he had one of those trunks you take to sleepaway camp. He locked me in one and sat on top for about an hour until I would, I guess, sexually, do what he wanted.
But every day he did this?
Almost, yeah.
He'd lock you in a trunk every day?
No, he wouldn't lock me in the trunk, but he'd beat me until I said, okay, I'll do it. And
why wouldn't you call the parents or somebody else?
I was so scared because his uncle was always in the house, and he scared me too. He's definitely a drug addict and been in jail, and thank God I'm recovering now because, oh, man, it's just, I was really scared. I still am.
Well, what you don't do is you say to yourself, and this is what I learned before I confronted my guy, but don't do something that's going to hurt you more. Like, if you know, don't get violent with him now, and then you're arrested, and you're sitting in jail going, not only did he molest me, yeah. Now I'm in freaking jail because of this ass.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I mean, if, you know, is it haunting you? It doesn't seem like it's totally haunting you. It seems like you got a kind of a grasp on it.
It has haunted me for basically my whole life. I've done so much work on it to the point, but basically you were saying earlier how most guys, most people who've been molested or abused or overweight, I'm severely overweight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about 100 pounds overweight, and I just have so much shame about it.
Well, being overweight reinforces the shame, but it helps keep people at a distance. It's literally a physical manifestation of your desire to keep people away. Daniel, get out of that. I swear to God, get away from there. Find a way, make it a plan, get out of there. The chronic stress of being around a perpetrator is going to make you eat, right. For, amongst other things.
It's going to make me hungry just hearing about it.
It's going to make you sick. Ashley, 16.
Yeah, I wanted to ask a question about giving a blowjob.
You could do that. Go ahead.
All right, like it kind of has to do with like what she asked the other chick, but like, I was, like, giving this one guy head for, like, a half an hour, and then, like, my like, lips got numb.
Yeah, you
right,
you did it for too long.
Right.
And, right? Like, I couldn't, like, close my mouth. It was hard.
Because the jaw was stuck open?
I don't know. It's just, like, not the jaw, but just, like, my lips, like, in general. And then, like, you know how when you're blowing out, like, from a cigarette? Like, I couldn't, like, blow, or, like, I couldn't, like, spit out anything. Like, I couldn't spit right.
How long did that last for?
Like 10-20 minutes.
It's just so dry that you know, you've damaged the lining of the mouth and the lips.
Major cotton mouth.
What?
It gave me major cotton mouth for like ever.
Ashley, why'd you do that?
Yeah.
Because I'm gonna walk to a person that was the last one I was gonna see him.
What happened? I don't know. She was blaring the radio in the background. It's the last time she's
going to
see him.
I think she should take a couple years off that.
Yes.
And just regroup when she's 18.
By the way, the idea with sex is not to do things until they harm you or hurt you, or to let people do things to you that are hurtful and harmful.
Although I will say this, when I am with my wife, and like I'm in a weird position, I'm getting a cramp, but it's going well, I will suffer it out just because it's such an honor.
That's gutting it out. That's a little different. It's a little different. Let's take on for the team.
These kids, though, I'm amazed how frank, they didn't have the blowjob thing or the BJ thing when I was young.
No, no. You missed out on that,
Tom. They, you know, would talk. I think they did, but it wasn't.
No. It's something that came, that was sort of after intercourse. I mean, that was something,
right.
A couple was really intimate. They might experiment with oral sex.
Right.
But it wasn't something that came as part of making out.
Right,
which is
no.
What it is now.
I see.
It is.
Yeah.
Weird. Wow. I mean, it's even like sort of overtaking second base.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Okay, this is Bob, 18.
What's happening?
You tell us. What's up there, Bob? You're on with Tom Arnold.
What's happening?
What's up, buddy?
I've got a girlfriend that's about a foot shorter than me. And just
you still
want to
have kids, Tom? Hasn't she talked you out of it yet?
Wow. Kids are scary.
She's
days.
Much.
She's
much
a foot shoulder than you.
And then and even you, Tom, with you know, all your trauma and stuff like that, you didn't act out sexually when you were a young kid, did you?
No. I was, and I can remember the first time having sex, I was so scared because an older gal wanted to have sex with me.
How old were you?
I was like 16. Mm. You know, I just got my license.
How old was she?
She was like 19. And I
That's
was like,
cool, right?
I know, but I was like so scared.
Yeah.
I just didn't know.
Well, also, sex had been this other horrible thing before, too.
But then when I did it for real after that, the gal was, I was 16, she was 14. She just moved to Iowa from Colorado. She's big time. And I thought she was a virgin. And I just was like, oh, this is so exciting. And she goes, do you want me to go back on the pill? And I was like, oh. And then so, but I've always been a little naive in that. that area. But anyway, this guy is his girlfriend's a foot shorter.
Yes, Bob.
What's the problem?
Okay, she's short, and?
And I'm tall.
And?
And just not everything's working out quite as well as it should.
Which part? What part does it work out? Because usually that's about the difference. In, I'm a foot taller by one.
And all that.
What?
The doggy, you know.
Oh, well, then do something else.
Well, what's a good one?
You got it. You prop her up a little bit. Prop her up a little. There's way. Oh, my God, there's a million ways to do things.
Okay.
You know, just get her, put her knees on some pillows, you know. It's worse when they're too tall and you got to spread them out. I mean, you got to put them in an awkward position. You know,
right.
You know, but that'll work. You know, there's a, hey, you don't have any problems.
There,
you
exactly.
Got a, you know, just a height thing, you know. Think how basketball players, what they go through.
Absolutely.
Oh, boy.
Laura, 19. By the way, they don't complain about it, Bob.
Exactly.
Laura, 19, yeah.
Hey, I got a question. My guy, the only way he gets off is if with her, like, really hardcore, like, painful sex. And that just really
Who has to be suffering the pain? You or him?
Me, obviously. it hurts like within the first minute, and I'm not like a wuss or anything, but like I can't deal with it. And you know, I can give him a blowjob, but you know, I'm not getting off vaginally, and that's not as much fun.
So he likes being rough. Is that the issue?
Does he pull your hair and stuff? Is that kind of rough, or is he just fast and hard?
No, not even that. It's just like hard thrusting, like majorly hard.
And you told him you don't like that?
I think he caught the hint. Because
no,
like,
Laura. Let's say, Laura. No. Guys think, every guy thinks what they like, you like.
Right.
What they want done to them is what you want done to you. And then they watch pornography and all these crazy images of how women are supposed to be in their eyes. And they get this notion that this is what you want. What he wants to do is what makes you happy. He may have some stuff he wants to do. He'll let you know about that. But he is doing what he thinks you need in order to get off. And they are, and because they're so sort of set on this belief. I mean, you know, guys are like a big black Labrador dog. They want to be smacked around and stuff. And women are more like a Persian cat. You know, you got to go slow and easy and don't move up on them too fast.
I like to get smacked around and stuff. I'm all for that, but.
Well, Laura, you're going to have to be very clear. You're giving mixed messages even to us. It's hard to figure out what you want.
It sounds like she's already got a baby in the background, too.
But you're going to have to be super clear with them. Guys, aim to please, but we are lame. You have to be extra super clear. It's like, here's what I want. Don't do this. I need you to do that. And don't wait till you're angry and resentful. Start out with it. Like, here's what I like. Come on, let's go.
Because he's probably insecure, too.
He doesn't know.
If he thinks... If you're faking like you're enjoying it, he'll do exactly the same thing every time.
And if you're hinting that you don't like it, he didn't get any of that. He didn't see any of that.
If he touches you at a spot and you seem to enjoy it, he'll touch you in that exact spot every time.
Well, I'll be even more blatant. If you don't say, I don't like that, stop it, he's going to do the same thing again and again because that's what he would want and that's where his head's at.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he's over in Iraq, so I got a year to figure it out.
Oh, beautiful. That's great. Well, Laura, I just hope you learn to be more honest with your partners, more direct,
okay,
and more, and speak up. No. Stop. That's what all women do.
We want to know how to please you. You make a list. We'll go down the list, and that's all we want.
We want to perfect it. We want to perfect exactly what you want, but you must tell. Men don't know.
Right.
And every woman is different, which screws guys up even more.
You know, don't be afraid to say, we need lubrication. We need whatever you need.
Slow down, speed up, here, there, go over here. Just there. Hey, fine, fantastic.
Yeah, whatever, please help. Well,
help us.
Yeah.
All right?
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Now, be good. If he's really your boyfriend, be good while he's in Iraq, for God's sake.
Really, really serving our country. Mike, 20. Mike.
What's up?
Yeah, what's up with you?
Nothing much, man.
Here you go.
Is this Tom?
This is Tom and Dr. Drew.
Hey, Mike.
Tommy, I love fat girls. Dude, why do you love them? I love them.
Well, I grew up in Iowa where there were bigger people, and I was bigger. I would say I specifically love fat girls, but I will say in my history, if somebody's nice to me and they happen to be overweight, that's a lot better than someone skinny and they're mean to me.
But that's a big criteria for you, nice and mean. That's a very big, important
category. Yeah, it is. Because that nice thing seems to last quite a while. The hot thing goes away. But if they're nice, you know, if they're, you know, really nice to you.
Can somebody be caring and interested, but not specifically nice, and still be interesting to you?
Yeah. So, because they may come around. They may come around.
But even that, though, is I bet you couldn't do that in the past. They had to be, like, nice all the time.
Well, I'd hope for that nice. Mm-hmm. I dated most of my girlfriends up till I started getting married were special education teachers. And they seemed to be very patient and kind people. And I said, well, look at it. They are kind people. They help people. They're kind to me. And I like them a lot.
And they're highly codependent.
And none of them were thin, by the way.
They're highly codependent, need to rescue people and keep that disease going.
Right, exactly.
That's important.
And then the one problem I ever have, they can be super nice, but if they're like boring, there's something wrong with me. I just can't deal with boring.
So that's a little bit of a challenge,
a little bit of a like a sense of humor.
Okay.
Is it right. Icing? Like laughs at the some funny stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like my wife now is bitingly humorous. It is sort of mean sometimes, but it's funny to me. I can deal with it sometimes.
Was she always mean, or does that just happen at the 4-year mark?
I think she probably always was, but she's perfected it. You know, she doesn't really smile when she says her jokes.
She's into you sexually now, so things are good.
Yeah, it is. It is good. It's great.
It's good. She wants to have a baby. Anyway, 1-800-LOV. Good. LOVE191. Tom Arnold in here with us. The film is The Kid and I, Tom and a dyslexic cerebral palsy actor.
Right.
Who is it's going to be the hit of the show. It opens December 2nd.
Unbelievable.
Look for it.
And the guy that likes the big gals, you know, it's cast in a wider net. If you have specifically, I have to have skinny women. And by the way, a lot of skinny women have bodies like boys. I just want to say that. The bigger gals,
A little more estrogen.
And I'm talking about 800 pounds.
Yeah, yeah. No,
I'm talking about, you know, normal size.
Fuller.
160, 170. You like normal human size.
Yeah. And we'll be right back.
Love Line is coming back.
Call 1-800-LOVE-191. Operators are standing by.
Love Line will be back in a minute.
Love Line, 1-800-LOVE-191. Tom Arnold in the studio with us tonight. The Kid and I coming out December 2nd.
That's right.
And, oh my goodness, do you want to take this call here?
Yeah. It's
you want to take that?
Ex-sexual partner at Tom's. Bring him on.
All right, Sam, what's going on?
Sam from Michigan.
Hi. Tom was recently in Grand Rapids promoting his film, and I met him in the hotel lobby of the Ramada.
Yes.
And we had,
you stay at the Ramada when you're Grand Rapids.
At the Amway, actually.
Is it Grand Rapids? Well, hang on a second, Sam. Grand Rapids is a big Amway city, right?
Yeah, it's the Amway Hotel. We call it the Ramada. But go ahead. Tell what happened.
Well, I was having cocktails. Tom was abstaining. But we did have relations in my hotel room, and I have a sore on my mouth.
Hold on a second, Sam. Sam, hang on a second.
Yeah.
Pick it up.
Yeah.
It's Sam.
Sam.
It's Sam, and it sort of sounds like
Michigan.
It sounds like it's trying to be a... Have you had a sex change or something, Sam?
Sam, have you had a surgery? And
I'm midway through my transgender.
You see?
Well, that explains.
I feel like I've met this.
Because I was starting to feel weird about it until I now know that he is halfway through the.
So then you're okay?
Surgery. Yes.
Well,
and it was.
You let a penis stand between you two.
I was very forthcoming, and I think when it got weird was when you invited me into your rented van in the parking lot.
Yes. Well, I mean, it wasn't weird for me. I thought it was something special, and it hurts me, Sam, that you would be...
It's amazing that Sam sounds so feminine.
He does.
It's amazing.
He does sound feminine.
Really,
I'm on the hormonal therapy.
No, but you were a gay man who then became a trans.
Yeah, well, he's definitely gay.
Yeah, yeah.
Am I right, Sam?
No, well...
Sam, who are you talking to here? Come on.
You're gay.
Complete. I will not be gay. I will be straight. I'll be heterosexual.
Most male to female transformations actually do that to maintain lesbian relationships with women.
Let me just say something about Sam. I saw a video of Sam and Seth Green cuddling together. Is that true?
That is what planted the seed. My male name was Dax.
Yes, it's Dax Shepard. And he was lovers with Seth Green, who's a very small man.
Yes, they, yes. This is back to that tall, short.
Yeah, exactly.
Thing again.
What's up, buddy?
How are you, bud?
How are you, man?
We got you. You left your wallet behind in my hotel room at the Ramada.
See, I'm not ashamed of that, Dax, because that was real for me, and it was in Grand Rapids, and one of the options up there.
Now, Dax, were you in Grand Rapids at the same time? Honestly,
no. I keep pretty close tabs though on Tom.
So yeah, he does.
When he visits my home state, I got to make sure he's taken care of.
Now, see, Dax, he his father Dave. Okay, let me say this about him.
He came out a little over a year ago.
Hold on.
And I was pretty big at that time. I was thinking about maybe I should lose some weight, quit smoking the cigars, do something. But then I meet Big Dave, and here he is. He's a little older than me, a little heavier, smoking like it. I said, okay. When he has, if this guy could do it and bring his A game, he hasn't had a heart attack. I must be okay.
Oh,
and then what happened, Dax?
Well, then you talked about it tonight on Jay Leno.
I did.
No.
You just voided out several of his insurance policies.
No.
Saying he didn't smoke or have a heart attack, so he thanks you from his hospital room.
Well, he's doing well. Let's put it this way. His dad's lost like 60 pounds.
How do you guys know each other?
He goes to the gym. We're buddies.
Is he in the upcoming film?
I'll tell you how we met. We met at Punk'd. And where we punked, Ash, we were trying to hire Ashton's assistant. And you remember Dax on Punk?
Yeah, yeah.
And he was by far the most talented,
punker.
We talked about the prolapsed vagina for hours.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Remember, Drew?
I remember prolapsed vagina. That does come up on this show here and there.
And yeah, I guess the only show where that's like a weekly topic.
But how good is Dax in Zathura? Have you seen it? He's like a young Harrison Ford. That's what the New York Times said.
Nice.
Yeah, right. It's a small little newspaper.
You were great. You were great in that movie. And I don't know how it did this weekend because...
Well, Tom had the best compliment to seeing the movie. He said he enjoyed it a lot because he was able to use his cell phone during the movie because there was no one else in there to ask him to be quiet.
But I was teasing you by that. There was actually people. I went the first weekend, and he was amazing and did a great job, and very proud of him.
Dax is a good guy.
I've seen The Kid and I. I'm one of the few people.
That is true. You actually gave notes.
He
gave music notes for me, which I used.
Awesome. Did you use those notes?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want to give away any of the movie, but when you first meet the kid, it's already a delicate situation, so it was a little emotional.
That's why I said we don't need to hit the sappy notes, because I think I'm being punked when I meet the kid. He's got cerebral palsy.
That's so funny.
But it was sweet. Well, what are you doing? Did Big Dave see the Tonight Show?
I'm just hanging out with your wife right now.
All right.
Hey, Dax, when are you coming over here? Listen,
Dax, when are you coming over? I'm going to say something. This is no joke. Dax Shepard is renowned for having the biggest penis in Hollywood.
Oh, really?
I swear to God it's true.
Oh, I didn't know about that last time he was up here. That's interesting.
That is true. No, this is no lie.
I have a prolapsed penis.
Well, he's prolapsed some vaginas.
And he also, another
prolapsed.
Can I tell the other story about your neighbor lady who, in the middle of the night, here's Dax, it's like his birthday, and he's got these little shorty shorts that his gal got him for his birthday.
My girlfriend got me really adorable pajama bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
He hears screaming up from another apartment. He goes up, and I'm going to tell my version of it, and he's like, hey, quiet, down there. There's a guy trying to break into his girlfriend. Tell what happened, Dax. He got violent, right?
Well, he's upstairs. Yeah, I'm staying under the window of this apartment. I hear screaming, and then I'm trying to figure out what's going on. I hear this guy screaming in this English accent, and I have no idea who's up there. I'm trying to figure out if it's physical or they're just yelling at one another. And then I hear her scream, "Don't hit me." At that point, I knew I had to get involved, but I'm wearing little pajama bottoms and no socks or shoes, and I run into the apartment, and before I even get through the door, this 220-pound...
No, but before you open the door, you thought, he sounds English, he's probably small, but the second you got the door open...
bona fide soccer hooligan running at me full steam.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he and I get into a scuffle on the landing, like the second floor landing of the building. I cut my arm on a fire extinguisher, yada, yada. Everything worked out. The guy left, and no one got killed. But
Dax actually felt a little guilty. He was like...
But Tom Arnold had the genius idea of turning it into a TV show, a reality show, and it's called Blind Date with Violence.
No, what I said was, and I think this is true, you had on your yourself so well. But what's funny is even after the, when the guy was leaving, this guy had marched from Culver City to Santa Monica.
He was miles to keep this girl up.
Yeah. What? So he was like, and he walked by Dax after their altercation. He goes, effing women. And
you
Dax is like,
understand. She's an effing C word.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
But then I said to Dax, wait a minute.
But I called him actually mad that I hadn't fought the guy out on the sidewalk. I was like, man, I should have kicked that guy's ass. He was going to hit a girl. And I was actually really hard on myself. Right?
And I said, Dax, wait a minute. This guy walked 10 miles. He is out of his mind.
Yes, he's on speed.
You did the smart thing by saving. He was.
Yes.
Dax is mad he didn't fight him on the landing, which I said, Dax, you could have ended up with a broken neck.
Absolutely.
And then what do you got?
Oh,
you know?
Yes.
But he did a smart thing, and he was brave. And then I said to him, as a guy talk, I said, wait a minute. You saved this woman's life. What has she done for you? And he said, well, she is a masseuse, so I don't know if there's some kind of
payback,
rescuer's reward. And he said, why don't you go knock on her door and say, by the way, how are things?
Hey, Dax.
I just, it's kind of customary for a hero to get a happy ending massage.
Dax, get on hold here. Ann, our producer, ran in here and said, get Dax, put him on hold. I got to talk to him. So you hang on for a second.
Hold on, Dax.
Want to see you back up here.
He's the best.
He is a good guy.
He's a great guy.
It's been about a year, I think, since we've seen him up here. I think it was when he was in with Seth Green weren't they in the film?
They were in the paddle. But he's just, Zathura is his best thing. That's a John, what's his name, that did Elf, directed it. It's like the Jumanji. It's a prequel to Jumanji or a sequel.
Oh, no kidding.
But it's really good. Your kids would love it.
I guess, yep. Aaron 20.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, what's up?
Nothing. My girlfriend requested that I would try to stick my entire fist in her vagina.
Huh?
And I'm kind of hesitant about it, so I don't know how healthy that would be for her.
Well, she requested it. You got to try it. You go fist first. You go just see. You kind of make a shape like a, not the full fist. You just see what you get in there and then work your way in a little bit. You don't just, fisting sounds so crude. Just see what you can get in there and what you can work around. I'm sure she'll make you stop. They kind of, what you do is you
sure
get up in there
stop.
And they make that clat. All of a sudden you go too far and they make like a cat. They're like, Kah! And that's when you know when their claws come out.
When they're on the
I've
ceiling.
I've gone too far.
Yeah, they're up on the ceiling.
She's
there.
Just probably trying to challenge you and she's seen something and she's like, I want to get crazy. I want you to try this.
Don't you get a little suspicious when a woman wants that? That doesn't sound like a normal.
No, it doesn't. But it's just her trying to be nice. She's thinking, what can I do for my man? Hey, I bet he would like that. I saw that on TV.
Why do women, when they think about doing stuff for their man, they always have to include things that they hurt themselves?
Right.
It's got to be anal sex. It's got to be fisting.
What's wrong with anal sex? I mean, just once.
No, I'm not saying they're wrong. They have to talk to me about that. What's good about it?
Well, I feel that you should do it once.
Everyone should get through that?
Just
check it off your list?
Well, yeah, then you can say, I've done that.
But is it a good thing?
I think so.
Is it good for both partners? Some women
are into
it.
No, I'm sure it's not good.
Some women are into it.
No. If a woman said to me, okay, but then I'm going to do it to you, I'd say no.
No, but I mean, is it not? I'm not saying they have to switch roles, but I mean, if the guy likes doing it, is the woman like having it done to her necessarily?
Oh, I think some women might like it, but it's just so wrong. It's just I've had it happen accidentally a couple times.
Of course.
And then they make that cat face again, like, oh, what are you doing? I'm pretty basic. I like to be like the missionary, looking and, having my nipples licked. I mean, that's kind of my thing. I always say, if you don't want it to be over, stay away from the nips. But we all got our own little things.
Here's a Sarah 21.
Hi.
She sounds like a nice girl, though, the fister.
She does, yes. She's up for anything.
Yeah.
Hi,
Sarah, what's up?
Well, okay, so I've been with, first of all, I'm 21. I've been with over 40 people, just about around 42, men and women, and I am not ever able to orgasm, ever. And I'm 60-40 percentile of women that do not orgasm, but...
But the ones that don't orgasm with intercourse still have orgasm with oral sex or some sort of direct stimulation.
Right, and I am with definitely the majority of the people that I've been, I have done, have not been able to orgasm.
Why are you with all these people if it's something that's not satisfying for you?
I'm just trying to see if I can make it work. I mean,
that's what cocaine addicts say when I ask them why they keep going on their binges, even though with each subsequent hit they feel worse.
Right.
I'm just trying to get back to that first high.
That first high,
You know you're not. You know you're not.
Well, but plus, if she's had 40 in this period of time, you need maybe a long-term one with the same person that's willing to work with you. Because, God, would it be great to be with her and be the guy that broke
breaks
the
her.
Ice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys would be into that. It's literally like somebody said to me once, it's like, if you're drilling for oil, you want to drill 100 holes out there, but each of them only like 800 feet deep,
right.
Or you drill one hole all the way down and see what you got. You got to take your time, form a relationship, and it's a little bit of a lame sort of analogy there, but the fact is that you need an emotional connection, or often many women, to function
and patient.
Sexually.
You just need to be, you just lay it out there and say, look, does this feel good? Does this feel good? And patience, and however long it takes, and try whatever it takes, and just trust.
I've been in a relationship for about year, and I was
you're breaking up, Sarah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, why? What happened to you growing up that made you so compulsive this way?
Well, I was molested.
All right. Well, there you go. And that's what triggers sexual compulsions and sexual addictions very often. And you can go see a therapist who's used to dealing with these sorts of trauma issues, or go to SA if you're up for that. It's again another free service. You get an SA sponsor, another female. And talk about the shame.
Let me ask you this about the being with the women. Do they give you the impression that they know how to fix this situation? That they're the ones that know how to get the orgasm going?
Show you what to do, yeah.
Well, you know, to be honest, I think purely just being with that many people has been just a sexual thing and trying to, you know, fulfill, sexual fantasies and whatnot. I don't feel like the majority of those people were emotionally connected, which could be part of what you're saying. And
but do you understand what Tom's asking? Tom's asking when you get together with a woman, do they say, "Wow, I'm the one that I know what women like because I'm a woman. I'm going to show you how to do this."
Yeah, they always say that.
No,
is that true?
Like what I've tried to do is just be very specific about what I like and do a guided, just be very like.
You're not understanding the question. Are you ready to listen?
Yeah.
Okay, the question is, do women seem, when you're about to be with a woman, do they seem overly confident about what they can do for you because they're a woman and know what a woman's wants?
No.
They don't get that way. They just want to get in, get down.
Do you live anywhere near Dax Shepard? Within walking distance?
I wish.
No.
Brutal.
Nice.
But Sarah, this are all trauma issues. You know, you're really acting out. What happens when you've been traumatized? The trauma becomes sort of a frozen hole.
Right.
It becomes something you have to sort of repeat over and over and over again compulsively, even though it's never satisfying because all you're doing is really, people theorize trying to master the trauma of the past, but really it's just some sort of repetitive system that gets operating neurobiologically, and you just have to do that over and over. It's got to get broken. And
she's not a quitter, though. I got to say that. 40 people is only 21.
But it ain't working, so maybe try something different. SA is certainly a free and easy
way to do it. I try it yourself. If you can make yourself orgasm, that's number one. That's the thing. A lot of women are afraid to do that. But I'll tell you, as a man, I know exactly what it takes because I practiced since I was 14. I can tell you exactly.
Tom,
a lot
of women are afraid to do that. 8,000 times.
I did.
80,000.
And it's hard when you're bunk beds with your four brothers. You got to be really discreet.
Yeah, I'm sure they weren't doing anything either.
Yeah.
All right, Tom Arnold in here. The phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. We're going to return after this. Hey, it's Dr. Drew. This is Loveline. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Tom Arnold in here with us tonight.
Yes, we've had a great night here.
Great run. Dax is
Dax Shepard,
on again, off again lovers
awesome.
Come in.
He is. You know what Dax is doing? The only person in Hollywood. He just got his first house. If you eat 10 Coney dogs in his presence, I think he might have changed it to 12, but it's 10 for me. He will have a bronze bust of your head made. He's going to have a Coney dog room.
That's
like,
awesome.
You know how Sinatra had all his room? He'll be the only guy in Hollywood, and he's going to make a bust of you. And I hopefully going to be the first guy
does that
does
be
it.
Does that be one sitting, or can you just stay there as long as you want?
No, only one sitting.
But
and I could do it.
Going to be an eight-hour sitting?
Or no. I think there's a certain an hour and a half, I think. But that's easy.
10,
easy. Oh. Easy for me. So I'm really excited about that. That's my next project coming up.
Get the bust.
I want to be the first guy.
First bust in Dax's Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Edward 26. Edward?
Yes.
What's up?
I was told about these whippets. Actually, I did one time a while back, but it's
whippets are the propellant and whipped cream, things like that. It's a nitrous oxide canister.
Nitrous oxide, so it is that. Okay. I was curious as to what are the effects on you. I mean, why? I did it at the time. I know the effects of the immediate effects, but what are
long-term, you know.
Well, in terms of long-term serious effects, nitrous is not one of the more serious drugs in terms of long-term effect. The most of the real serious complications with nitrous are, A, people do nitrous in an environment where when they pass out, they drown and things like that. Or they do it in a closed space, so they lose oxygen, they can't breathe, or they fall down when they're using it.
What about brain cells?
And ultimately, well, ultimately what can happen is there can be thought disturbances, there can be a Guillain-Barré-like syndrome where they develop an ascending polyneuropathy and lose the ability to move their limbs and actually end up on breathing machines. So long-term...
That would be bad.
Long-term nitrous can be quite serious.
But does it make your rectum open up? Is that why people do it? Or one of those things the gay guys take, the poppers?
Amyl nitrate.
Oh, is that what it makes you
rectum? A little different.
Yeah.
That's the rumor. And amyl nitrates are muscle relaxants, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
Mary, 28?
Yes.
Hey, what's up?
My husband, we've been married for 2 years and dated for over 5 years. And he used to weigh 325 pounds. And he lost over 100 pounds in less than 9 months. And he has a lot of loose skin around his stomach and a little bit on his chest, and he's pretty much a bodybuilder because he wants to fill in that loose skin. So he's taken steroids several times before, and tonight he just asked me again if he could do it again. And
I'm going to offer in the minute I get to speak with you here, I'm just going to offer a diagnosis.
Yes.
Addiction. This is food. This is body image issues. This is addiction.
Right.
He probably was drinking like crazy when he was 325 pounds, right?
Not really.
Or smoking a lot of pot or something.
He was eating. We know that.
Yeah, he was eating.
He wasn't. He maybe drank, but
it just all smacks of the addictive process.
He will never be able to recreate that 325 using steroids.
No way.
Well, and no, he doesn't want to get up to that.
But he's not going to be able to fill out, so to speak.
No.
That's also a ruse to continue, you know, just to try to control his body image issues and to sort of keep using a substance that makes him high, frankly.
Right. Yeah. But the other question I had was, what is that going to do to his sperm count? Since you're ingesting testosterone.
Yeah, it shuts it off, basically. Yes, it stops it while they're using. I have seen some guys.
How long does it take for it to come back?
I don't know that I can answer that. It's certainly weeks, but not necessarily months or years.
Okay.
Although I've seen guys that have used steroids, particularly androgenic steroids, for a long time, that end up with permanent erection problems and permanent sperm production problems.
Okay. The injectable.
But those were guys using.
It shrinks your nads. That's all you need to know. I don't know why the guys do it. The athletes do it,
yeah.
But it never, unless you're playing. You know, athletes will tell you, if you told me I was going to live 4 more years, but I'd win a Super Bowl, I'd take that. That's how crazy they are. That's the kind of people that take the steroids.
Yes.
It's life or death.
Right.
You know, but with this guy, he doesn't. He's got other.
He should listen. It's reasonable that he be concerned about that loose skin. People get plastic surgery to get rid of that.
Of course, you
all
can.
The time, and that's a reasonable part of what he can reward himself
which
with.
Which he's already done the hard part. He's lost the weight.
That's right.
You can do that. You don't have to be. I mean, come on. If we take our clothes off right now, you don't have a perfect body. I'm guessing.
No.
I mean, it's a nice one.
Thank you, Tom.
But there's
I
little
that.
Things here and there.
Tell me more about what you like
exactly.
about
exactly. So. Well, the kid and I have my shirt off, so you'll see it's bad.
Excellent. All right, we're going to take another break here real quick. Be right back.
Yeah, Love Line.
Love Line will be right back.
That does it for Loveline. Thank you.
It was fun. Thank you.
Listen, always, you are just one of my five. Whenever people ask me who my favorite guest is, you watch.
Oh,
it's Tom Arnold.
I'm going to bring my A game next time then. Because this is fun. I really enjoy working with you.
Well, we appreciate it. I'll catch up with you in New York. I want to see that film. The film is The Kid and I.
You'll see it. It's a great film.
December 2nd. Everyone, show a little love, Tom Arnold.
Yeah, please do.
All Loveline listeners, go out there and support this film. I think it's something worth seeing.
Please, you'll enjoy it.
Okay, guys. Take care now, and we'll see you tomorrow night. Until then, this is Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
What are you doing? Did Big Dave see the Tonight Show?
I'm just hanging out with your wife right now.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or the station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.